أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page. And inshallah ta'ala, today we are on page number 63 of the Quran, which is towards the beginning of the fourth juz, Surah Ali Imran. In the previous episode, we spoke about how Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned a number of issues concerning belief in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is that Allah Azza wa Jalla spoke about how some people rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of certain arguments that they made or certain beliefs that they held. For example, that there is no such thing as abrogation between one prophet and the next, and Allah Azza wa Jalla dismisses that within the verses that we mentioned yesterday. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the importance of following the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the way that is his true message, and that is in believing in Islam and having tawheed and worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the sanctity and the blessed nature of the city of Mecca, how it was the haram was the, or the Kaaba was the first house of Allah Azza wa Jalla to be built for worship, and how it is therefore a compulsory act of worship for those who have the ability that they make pilgrimage at least once in a lifetime to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal in today's verses that we're going to be taking will speak about the importance of remaining steadfast and firm and united upon the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the different things that a person needs to do in order to be able to maintain that. We begin with verse 102, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah as He is His due, and make sure you devote yourselves to Him to your dying moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by giving us this instruction, and that begins with a call to the people of Iman. And Allah Azza wa Jalla addresses me and you and every believer, and He says, O you who believe, O people of faith. And as the companions used to say, that when Allah Azza wa Jal makes this call, He addresses people in this way, He calls out to the believers, then pay attention. Because after it will either be a command or a prohibition. Allah Azza wa Jal will tell us something that we should do or something that we should stay away from. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a similar call, and then He gives the command, اتقوا الله حق تقاته. Fear Allah in the way that you should be feared, as is His due, in the manner that is befitting to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal. This word and this concept of taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is essentially to do everything which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, and to stay away from everything which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or as some of the scholars said, it is to erect between yourself and the punishment of Allah a barrier. So every time you do a good deed, if you imagine that the fire of hell is between us, or there is nothing between us and the fire of hell, so our job in this life is to build a wall and a barrier that will save us from that fire. And so with every good deed that you do, you place a brick in that wall. And the more that you do, the bigger the wall, the stronger the wall, the greater the wall, the more reinforced that wall. And so your life's mission, if you like, is to do this, is to build this wall, so that inshallah ta'ala, when you come and stand before Allah Azza wa Jalla in Yawm al-Qiyamah, that wall will be sufficient in terms of saving you from that punishment of the fire. So taqwa is something which is often translated as fear of Allah, mindfulness of Allah, being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having piety of Allah Azza wa Jalla. All of these are words that are similar in meaning, and all of them are components of taqwa. Because in order for you to truly have taqwa, you must have a level of fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, because you're trying to save yourself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to have taqwa, you must be mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal and conscious of Him. Because how else can you make sure and ensure that to the best of your ability, each and every single day, you're coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you're presented with a situation, you find yourself in a scenario and you have two choices or multiple choices. One of them brings you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, and the others take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the component of taqwa. It is that sense of consciousness within you, that inner consciousness, that remembrance and mindfulness of Allah Azza wa Jal that makes you stop and pause and think. It's the one that tells you, wait a minute. If I do this, yes, I may get some temporary benefit. I may get some enjoyment. It may be something that my heart desires. But ultimately, it will weaken that wall and that barrier which is between me and the fire of hell. But if I give it up, if I sacrifice, if I leave it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, I am strengthening that wall. And the more that I leave off for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the more that I do of the good for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the easier it becomes. The more proficient I become, the more experienced that I become. And with that time and experience, I become more proficient in what it is that I'm trying to do. Just like a builder, first person that comes and builds a wall, it's the first time, he's never built a wall before, that wall's going to be slightly crooked, it's going to be slightly difficult, it's going to have problems in it, it's going to have weaknesses in it, because he's never built a wall by himself before. But the fifth time, the tenth time, the hundredth time, he's now a master builder. So likewise, we have to train ourselves. Taqwa isn't just something that some, as unfortunately some Muslims do, once a week on Jumu'ah, they practice a bit of taqwa by going to the masjid for Jumu'ah, don't pray for the rest of the week. It's not a once in a year thing, Ramadan, okay, let's show a bit of taqwa, and for the rest of the year we forget about Allah Azza wa Jal and His rights. It's not a once in a lifetime thing, that when I go for Umrah or Hajj, I will be good, but otherwise, no. Taqwa is something which requires a daily struggle. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't say just have taqwa of Allah, he says haqqa tuqati, in the way that is his right and due to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is his right and due is that every single day you fulfill your obligations and you stay away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day you're completing your prayers. Every day you have good akhlaq and character. Every day you're fulfilling your responsibilities. Every day you're staying away from haram. Every day you're someone who's conscious of Allah Azza wa Jalla, making remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and reading the Quran and learning your religion. And as and when those different acts of worship become obligatory upon you, like the zakah, or it's the month of Ramadan, or you have the ability now to perform Hajj and Umrah, those things kick in, and then you are also from those people who are conscious and mindful of them, and you perform those and fulfill those obligations that Allah Azza wa Jal has made clear to you. This is the first way, therefore, from the greatest ways of turning to Allah Azza wa Jal, or coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remaining firm and steadfast upon this religion, is to have the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. The second way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and do not die except in this state. Meaning it's not a one-day marathon, it's not a one-day sprint, it's not a two-day fast race. The issue of taqwa and of staying steadfast, it is a marathon that spreads across your life until death. That's this concept that sometimes some of us have, that it's just about the short race, Ramadan, we'll do a lot, and then the rest of the year it's okay. I will go for Umrah or Hajj once or twice in my lifetime, and I will just seek forgiveness there and ask Allah for Tawbah, and then it's okay. That's not a concept that is a good concept and mindset to have, because it is dangerous. Number one, you have no guarantee that you will reach Ramadan, that you will ever make Hajj, that you will have the ability to make Umrah. How many people had that plan and they died before they could? How many people had that plan, and when the time actually came, they didn't have the ability anymore, financially, physically, whatever it may be, their circumstances changed. Don't be like those people who are deceived by shaitan, but rather work actively and know that this life is a test, and that test remains until the moment of death. Death is the end of the test. Before that, there is no ending. You are still in the phase and the place of being tested and tried. So number two is understand this reality, and therefore work each and every single day for your akhirah and for the next life. Number three, from the greatest ways in which you can come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remain steadfast, is to be united. United with others, united as Muslims, and united in what though? Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. In verse 103, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and hold fast to Allah's rope altogether and do not split into factions. Remember Allah's favor upon you, you were enemies, and then He brought your hearts together and you became brothers by His grace. You were about to fall into a pit of the fire and He saved you from it in this way. Allah Azza wa Jalla makes His revelations clear to you so that you may be amongst the rightly guided. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that from the greatest ways of remaining steadfast is to all unite together. And unite together with other Muslims. The Muslims should be united, having brothers and sisters around you that encourage you, from your family, from your friends, from the people in the congregation that you attend in the masjid. These people around you that advise you, they support you, you see them, you're inspired, you want to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. They remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through their words, through their actions, through their character, through their interactions. Those are the people that we want to be surrounded by. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an important caveat here, is that this unity can't be unity for the sake of unity. It can't be unity upon anything or everything. It has to be upon or with the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the rope of Allah azza wa jal is the Qur'an. The rope of Allah azza wa jal is following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rope of Allah azza wa jal is doing what Allah commands you in the way that He legislated or that His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislated. And so yes, we often hear that Muslims should be united, 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 but we don't often unite because each person's according to their own thing. And humans, by their very nature, everyone has their own ideas, everyone has their own understanding, everyone has their own levels of experience and wisdom. And so everyone will become disunited unless we have a foundation upon which we can unite, that we can all come and agree upon. And that has to be the Quran, it has to be the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, hold fast together, but not just upon anything or to thin air or just because you're related or friends. No, but to the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that is what made the companions special and unique in that sense, because they were all people who understood this concept. One of them is an Arab, the other one's Abyssinian, the third one's a Persian, the fourth one's a Byzantine Roman. There's people from different levels of society, people, rich people, poor people, slaves, people free. All of these people come together and they're united. United because they understand that we have to stick to the Quran and the Sunnah. And because they have that common goal and that common, if you like, constitution between them, then they're united. And as soon as people came and some people started to ignore parts of the Quran or parts of the Sunnah or change parts of the religion, then the Ummah began to split into factions. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal warns against. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. For me and you, practically in our time, it's not possible for us to unite the whole Ummah necessarily. It's not our responsibility or within our power to unite all of the billion strong Muslims across the world. But what I can do and ensure is that for me, my family, the people that are close to me, my community, we understand this concept of understanding the Quran and the Sunnah. We learn together. We grow together, we worship Allah Azza wa Jal together, we better ourselves and our communities and societies together, and that is through following the Quran and the Sunnah. And to the best of our ability, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. We do not become disunited. We don't become people of different factions and so on. And that doesn't mean, by the way, that everyone has to think the same way, be the same way, look the same way, act. No, that's not the meaning of this verse. Because the Sharia allows for people to express their individuality in ways that are halal. Some people, like the companions, had different personalities. One is more soft, one is more harsh, one is more strict, one is more lenient. That's people's personalities. People have their personalities in terms of the way that they're going to study and do stuff. But the general community is united upon a foundation. And those differences, those variances, we need people who are stronger in some disciplines over others. And those others then have their role to play in other disciplines. This is how the community becomes strengthened in and of itself. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, and remember the favor of Allah upon you, addressing the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in particular the people of the Ansar of Medina. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. When you amongst yourselves used to be enemies to one another. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. But He brought your hearts together. Because even amongst the Muslims, or those who would later become Muslims before Islam came to them, people and families had problems with one another. Tribes had problems with one another. The people that were living in the same city had problems with one another. We know, for example, in Medina, the people who would later become the Ansar, those companions who became the Ansar, predominantly came from two major tribes in Medina, the Aus and the Khazraj. And these people before Islam were in civil war and strife. They would fight and kill one another, even though they're kind of related. They're from the greater kind of tribe. They're related. There's marriage between them. There's transactions. And they live in the same city together. When I say city, I don't mean a city like London or New York, which is massive. The cities of that time, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a city is relatively small. We would call it more like a hamlet or a very small town. Everyone knows everyone. Everyone sees everyone. It's like one of those small little towns that you get in places across the world, where it's not a city where if you're living on one side of the city to the next, you're not really going to know those people. There's like millions of people or thousands, tens of thousands of people. No, these are very small cities in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone knows everyone. Everyone's familiar with everyone. And so when there's strife, disunity, civil tension, that's going to play out across the whole city. And that is how the Aus and the Khazraj were. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, look at the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal, that He caused you to unite your hearts to be softened. But the question is, how did they unite? Upon what did they unite? What caused their hearts to be softened? And we know the answer to that. That was when they accepted Islam, when they understood the beauty of this religion, when they followed the Quran and they followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. So your hearts are softened towards one another. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And you became by His grace brothers to one another. So now from people who are enemies, people who don't like one another, people who have issues and strife and beef with one another, they become extremely close. Extremely close. Not only that, are they good with one another, but they're able to welcome in those muhajireen, those migrants from Mecca, who are now coming to settle within their city. And we know the many stories that are mentioned concerning how the Ansar opened up their doors and welcomed their fellow Muslim brothers when they migrated from Mecca. How some of them would give to them from their wealth, or would give to them from their business and their property. They allowed them to stay with one another. And at the beginning of that period, they would even inherit from one another before Allah Azza wa Jal changed that law. And so they became extremely close. And that is what brotherhood is. Brotherhood is when you come together, united upon one ideal, one basis, one foundation, and that is the Quran and the Sunnah. And together then collectively you help one another, you work with one another to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the trials of the dunya and the many temptations that lead us away from Allah azza wa jal are many. And so we need support, we need help, we need advice. We need people to come and to stand by our side, and when we've fallen down, to lift us up and to strengthen us and to give us reminders and so on. And that is the beauty of the brotherhood of Islam. And that is why brotherhood is such an important concept in this religion. If you have it, then it is something which is beneficial for you. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and remember, you're about to fall into the pit of the fire, and He saved you from it. Because they were disbelievers, and Allah Azza wa Jalla then guided them to Islam. This is how Allah Azza wa Jalla makes His revelations clear. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us in verse 104, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Be a community that calls for what is good, urges what is right, forbids what is wrong, and those who do this are the successful ones. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that from the greatest ways of remaining steadfast is within every community, the people of that community, the Muslims, the individuals, need to be people who stand up for what is right. They need to be people who remind. They need to be people who urge others to do good. And they need to be people who, when they see wrong, oppression, evil, they speak out. And this is something which we're losing across the world in our communities today because of the very individual type of life that we live. We're very, very much it's about me and my family and no one else. Or if I see something, I don't really want to interfere with someone else's personal space and their personal issues. Whereas really the way that the Muslims should be is that we should be advising one another. And because we don't, we've allowed within our communities, I'm not speaking about the general wider non-Muslim community, even within us, our families, our communities, our masajid, we see people doing wrong and no one says anything. No one bats an eyelid, no one speaks out, no one corrects, no one advises. And that is something which then weakens the whole community. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, be an ummah. A community, a nation that calls to good, enjoins the good, forbids the evil. And that is the path of success. Because therefore people know that if I do something wrong openly, I'm going to be called out. If I don't do something that I should be doing, someone's going to pull me up and say, why are you doing this? And when you have this within a community, it is something which strengthens everyone. In verse 105, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Do not be like those who, after they have been given clear revelation, they split into factions and fall into disputes. A terrible punishment awaits such people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't be like those people who, once they've been given the revelation, they know this is the Quran, this is the Sunnah, they're going to split. They're going to differ and disunite. And often, that disunity, that differing, is because people allow their egos to come into the discussion. Pride, jealousy, enmity, all of these different issues that come up. And so that prevents us from accepting the truth. It prevents us from being united. Because someone wants to be in charge. The other person wants to have influence. The third person wants his position known and everyone to follow him. And so when this starts to happen, that's going to be a problem. Whereas what we're told is, everyone's ego, everyone's emotions, everyone's feelings, everyone's wants and needs, they are secondary to what we find in the Quran and the Sunnah. If they are in accordance to it, alhamdulillah, all well and good. And if not, then we, part of our submission and devotion to Allah Azza wa Jal, is that we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when the ummah becomes disunited, when people become disunited and divided, it weakens the collective whole, and that then becomes a problem. Allah Azza wa Jalla then gives us this reminder in the next couple of verses concerning Yawm al-Qiyamah. In verse 106, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُ وُجُوهٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. On the day when some faces brighten and others darken, it will be said to those with darkened faces, how could you reject your faith after believing? Taste the torment for doing so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that based upon these actions and what you do to be steadfast, and if you can remain steadfast until death, as opposed to those who don't remain steadfast, who turn away, who reject, who disbelieve, they will come on the day of judgment. And there they will be split into two groups, the people of happiness and the people of wretchedness. The people of happiness, their faces will be illuminated and brightened. And the people of wretchedness, their faces will be darkened. As for those whose faces are darkened, it will be said to them, how could you reject faith after believing? So now taste the punishment for the choices that you made. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish them because they didn't do those things. They didn't follow the Quran. They didn't follow the Sunnah. They didn't have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They didn't stay firm upon this religion. They didn't remain united upon the Quran and the Sunnah. They split and they differed, and they didn't call to what Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with. And so because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they rejected Allah Azza wa Jalla and his religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will darken their faces on the day of judgment, and they will be punished. As opposed to those whose faces will be illuminated, as Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse 107, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بَيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. But those with brightened faces, they will be in Allah's mercy, and they will be there to remain forever. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and as for those who did remain steadfast, they did have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they did remain firm upon the Quran and the Sunnah, they did call to good and enjoin the good and forbid the evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will have the mercy of Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says they will have His mercy. And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is every type of good, every type of reward, every type of blessing from our Lord and Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they will be given, essentially therefore, the gardens of paradise with all of the blessings and all of the enjoyments and beauties that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed within Jannah for the believers. In verse 108, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. These are Allah's revelations, we recite them to you with the truth, and Allah does not do injustice to any of His creation. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that these verses that you hear from the stories that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions to you in the Quran, from these types of advices that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives, these principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to you, all of this is the truth from your Lord. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made clear for you the path to salvation, the path to success. If you hold onto that success, then onto that path, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant you that success. And if you turn away, if you're negligent, if you're heedless, if you're not mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal, you don't have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah Azza wa Jal has no need of anyone from His creation. And so Allah Azza wa Jal has made the path clear. And Allah Azza wa Jal has told us not only what the path is, but how to be firm and steadfast upon that path. Perchance that those of us who understand the Quran and the Sunnah, Allah Azza wa Jal will give us the grace and the ability and the tawfiq to stay steadfast upon that path and to be from amongst those people who remain upon that path until the time of death. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant that to me and to you and to our families and to our loved ones and to all of the believers. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.